spacewalk. You know, I was telling somebody this week that we were talking about teaching a senior Sunday school class, and one of the things that that it seems to be the hardest about doing that is when we get up to our age is my age and above, okay? When we get to that age, we get sick. Some of us get moody, I've heard. But there's cause to be out a lot more than when you were younger, right? I mean, you break things and you fall down. I mean, that's just what we all do. And that's the hardest part. We got some folks on the road today, but I know Beverly's sick. And so anytime you're out sick, I miss you. And I just want to know, I want you to know that I'm glad that you are here. Brother Strunk says to tell you a big hello. Got to talk to him for about 45 minutes Friday night. And I'm always blessed by that. And I don't know why that is. I have an opinion about, I sort of have an idea of why that is, but just a positive, encouraging individual. It's all about the Lord. It's all about the Lord's church, and that's encouraging to me. And so, you know, I've been blessed to receive that from him for a long time. 2 John is where we will be. Now, we didn't quite finish the last part of 1 John, but John repeats what he has said all through the chapter. I think when we left off last week, we were talking about the sin unto death and the sin not unto death. And basically, I won't spend much time on that, but it's easy to understand. There is within each Christian's life the tendency for us to drop away in our fellowship from the Lord. We do something in our life that we don't hand over to the Lord. You remember that? That's what we do. And we might surrender to the Lord all a billion other things, but we got this one thing that we're going to hang on to. And so the sin unto death is a decision by God to take a child home because something hasn't been handed over to him. Don't know what that is. For Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts, it was lying to the church, their pride and not being truthful about what they were doing. In the Lord's, in 1 Corinthians at the Lord's Supper, it was mentioned as well. A child of God was taken home. That's the word sleep that Paul uses. And don't know what happened there, but it was something that that person couldn't give over to the Lord, probably over a lifetime. I don't know. But John is clear to say there is a sin not unto death. So we sin a lot as human beings. Amen? And obviously, we all here have sinned sins not unto death, or else we wouldn't be standing here or sitting here. And so that's kind of what that means. And so John takes the opportunity. In fact, if you'll look, I was going to try not to go here so we could get into 2 John, but it's too good not to. Chapter 5, verse 17 says, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Now, why is there a sin not unto death? I'll tell you why. Because God's gracious. If the truth were known, we're individuals who are deserving of death. We're deserving of punishment, but God's gracious and he's merciful. If you believe that, say amen. We don't get what we deserve. If we did, we probably wouldn't be here. And in leading up to the book of 2 John, we'll finish reading the last four verses. We in verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, does not keep on sinning. When you read John's writings, you always have to keep in mind that tense of that verb that he used all the time. It was a present, ongoing sense, okay? We might read these verses and think, well, I sin, so he's not talking about me. Well, we do sin, but what John's trying to get us to see, he's trying to help us with, don't continue doing it. Don't spend a lifetime in whatever it is that's weighing you down as a child of God. You've got the Holy Spirit living with inside you, giving you the power not to do it. Rely upon Him. Rely upon Jesus, and let Him give you the power not to do what it is that's taking you away from God. He says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God, born of God, keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And I am so glad about that right there. A Satan can discourage me. Linda, Satan can discourage you, right? But he can't touch us. He doesn't have the final say-so. He can throw obstacles in our path, and he can even throw things in your path that will tend to take us away from the Lord. But ultimately, it's God's Spirit that gives us the power and the control not to follow the leading of Satan. We follow the leading of God. Verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world, it literally means asleep in wickedness, lying in wickedness. That's the only thing they can do. You know, when we go out as Christians and we see people out in society doing stuff, and it's, you know, some of us might have a tendency to run up to them and give them the third degree about that stuff. Well, that's the only thing they know. We should be out there spreading the gospel message with them. We should be out there telling them about Jesus. Jesus can give them the power to not do that stuff. But until then, that's all they can do. Verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. And I am so grateful for that right there. I don't have to guess about what to believe. If it's not in the Word of God, we have no business believing it. Now, we may have opinions. We may have feelings about certain things. And that's okay, because we're human. God's given us that side of our being to be passionate and to have opinions about things. But I have no business coming to this pulpit or even talking to you on the phone or whatever. I have no business telling you that this is the way it is when whatever it is not in here. Is that clear? That's the way it is. And we've been fortunate, you and I have been fortunate to be a part of a church that believes that right there. So he's given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Now, more than once in this study, I looked at that last verse and I just thought, that's the last thing he's going to say in this letter, but that's so very important. Why is that? Because we are so prone to have idols. We are so prone to wander away from the Lord and give diligence and due of other things that shouldn't be there. Say, it's not wrong, Duane. Well, no, it's not wrong. But it's captivated your life. It's got all your attention. I'm world's worst at this. I find myself doing something, because I want to do a good job, and all of a sudden it becomes something that is consuming me. I hate that part about myself. Every day I'm like, you idiot. You've spent all this time in this thing that's not even important. Or it may be important a little bit, but it shouldn't run your life. That's an idol. We think of idols as what ancient people bowed down to. Well, that was an idol, but we have all kinds of them in our life that we don't bow down to physically. So, John has spent these five chapters telling us to love each other, hasn't he? I mean, he said a whole lot more. If you take nothing away from the book of 1 John, take that away. That we're to love each other. And I thought of this this morning as I was kind of reviewing my notes, and I thought, well, not only are we to love each other, but when we do, it won't be heavy. We'll enjoy it. You say, how in the world can I love this guy? He is the most obnoxious person in the whole wide world. I don't want to love him. And Duane, if I do love him, I'm not going to enjoy it. I can't explain it. I just... can read the promise that if we keep Christ's commandments, remember, not the Ten Commandments, that the Ten Commandments are something else. Christ's commandments are all those things he posted for us in his ministry, that he gave to us, how to act, how to think, how to be, how, what to say. Those are Christ's commandments. And one of them is love thy brother. And when you keep Christ's commandments, they're not going to be heavy. If I love you, Pat, and if I love you, Linda, and if I serve you, and if I care for you, it's not going to be a bad thing. It's going to be a good thing. Misha's here this morning, and I don't know why this just popped into my head, but you know, when she's here and she starts thinking about the Ukraine, getting back to the orphanages and around those kids, her face lights up. Now, she, you know, her mom's no longer alive, but she was alive when she went to the Ukraine, and she's been away from her family for quite a while now. A lot of hardships on the road, a lot of problems with visas and all that. She can't wait to get back and get some more of it because it's not heavy. It's not heavy because she wants to please her father in the things that she is doing. So John's big thing is you want to love each other as a church family. You want to love each other in the kingdom of, in the family of God, the big picture. The family of God is local and the family of God is not local. We can have something in common with another church family because they are the family of God and we are the family of God. But we have very little opportunity to do that, don't you see? We're together all the time, so this is where we're going to take it. We're to love each other. But in 2 John, Brother Stacy, I know prepare lessons, so I'm going to say this to Stacy for just a minute. Y'all can listen in, but I got something for Stacy here. I didn't know how to open this up this morning. At first, I was going to say 2 John is like an asterisk to 1 John. But then I backed off of that. That's more like a little non-important thing in my mind, you know. By the way, here's something. Now, so then I thought, what about a footnote? 2 John is like a footnote to 1 John. And there again, after a few minutes, I was like, that just doesn't seem right either. I don't know why, it just doesn't seem right. And then I thought, well, listen, the message in 2 John is so powerful, he only needed 13 verses to give it. And 1 John took 5 chapters. I still don't know how I'm going to think about this, but what I do want you to see is these 13 verses are a powerful, powerful addition to brothers and sisters loving each other, and this is huge. We have 3 daughters, and one of them has such a heart. She sees needs and tries to meet them to her own neglect. And so I was thinking about this, what we find in 2 John. By the way, I got a little rabbit trail here. It's not often that I have a desire to give an introduction that's longer than the actual lesson. This is one of them, though. And I think it's important. But this daughter of ours loves people, tries to meet needs, much to her own neglect and selflessness, you know. Those are the kinds of people that need to really read 2 John. I think of Anita Connor. And she was a prayer warrior. She loved people. And so many of you that meet needs, they love people. 2 John is like, it's great that you're that way, but I need you to watch out for something. I need you to watch out for a very critical thing. And it may seem harsh, and it may seem without call to think this way, but it's so important that you got to watch out for. Read with me, 2 John verse 1. The elder, that's John the apostle, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Now, there's a great many, you know, this elect lady, let's deal with that for just a second, okay? It's about half and half among Bible historians and commentators. Some think that it's a specific individual lady, and it probably is. I mean, it very well could be. A lot of commentators think that he's addressing the church in general and using this as kind of like an allegory or whichever is the case, it don't matter because it's saying the same message, okay? So the way I'm going to take it this morning, and you can take it another way, but the way I'm going to take it, there's a lady here who loves God's church. We don't know what her name is. We don't know which church it is. But we know she loves God's church and she supports God's church, but she's got to watch out for something in her life that can backfire on her love and support of God's church, okay? Paul thinks so much about her that he says, whom I love in the what? Truth. Truth. The theme of these 13 verses is the truth. 1 John, the overriding theme was to love your brother. The 2 John theme is truth. The paramount importance of truth. For the truth's sake, there it is again, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. What a great phrase that is. This thing that we believe, the doctrines of Christ, the teachings of God's word are not going to change. What our politicians believe and what society believes changes with the wind. But we got the thing here that we can believe, we can trust. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. In truth, there it is again, in truth and love. You might be thinking, why are you taking so much time to emphasize this? Well, John only does 13 verses here. And if you don't get the fact that truth is of paramount importance when deciding to love your brother, then you're going to miss the whole 13 verses. Wonderful verse number 4. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Now, we all have had children. Most of us, I'm sure, have had children. And out of our children, some have done the right thing. Amen? Some have not. Amen? Because they're just like us. We don't always do the right thing. I was blessed by Stacy Friday night talking about Bryce. And we've all got things about our kids that we really appreciate, don't we? Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe you don't like your kids. I do. Now, there's some things not so much. But I, as a father, and Valerie as a mother, love to see when our kids do the right thing. Paul's got a concern with this lady here. He loves her in the truth. He wants to help her in how to love other people in the truth. But he takes the time to mention, hey, elect lady, when I saw how your kids were walking in truth. Now, by the way, the word walking can be a second theme to these 13 verses. It's pretty important. We can say that we love. We can say that we can do anything. John said that in 1 John chapter 1, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So we can say whatever we want. It's not important. What are we walking? How are we walking? Paul looks at this lady and says, look, I want to talk to you for a minute. I love you in the truth. I love how you've supported God's church, and I'm putting some words in here. But he's got so much admiration for this lady, whoever it is. And then in verse 4, he takes the time to say, and when I look at your kids, I'm overjoyed, rejoiced greatly. And then he says, as we have received a commandment from the Father. What's the commandment? All the words in the previous five chapters in 1 John, love your brother. Please your Father by loving your brothers and sisters. That's the commandment. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we, what? You tell me. Walk. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, we've dealt with both of those words in 1 John. Anybody who disavows, does not believe the deity of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is an antichrist. And that opens up a very wide pit, because we live in a world where people say, oh, you're a Jesus follower, you're a Christian, oh, me too. And they never are concerned about what Jesus wants for their lives. They are never concerned about satisfying the demands of God the Father by trusting in his Son. And he says, there's a lot of deceivers out there. And they don't confess that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that he was coming to the flesh, that he came to this earth to pay for our sins. And it's evident in the fact that they do other things to try to atone for their sins. They don't come to Christ. And he says in verse 8, look to yourselves. Now, anytime Paul says that, it's time to do an inward inspection. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Now, we haven't read what that is yet. We'll see it in just a minute. Don't read ahead, okay? Don't mess it up. Don't spoil the surprise. We don't know what it is yet, but whatever it is, if we don't tend to it, if we don't look after this, that means that we're going to lose what rewards we have as a child of God. This is important. This is major. You mean there's something I can do where I will lose the rewards I've garnered for my time in heaven? Yeah. And Paul says, watch out here. What you've received up to now may be gone if you don't pay attention to this one thing. Wouldn't you say that's pretty important? It's scary. Whosoever in verse 9 transgresseth. Oh boy, this word transgresseth means to go past the point. Now, when I hear the word transgress, I think of disobeying and going against, and it means to go beyond what is intended. And once I put this together in my head this week, it really made a lot of sense. Funny how that is. As human beings, we tend to add to God's laws, don't we? Because we're comfortable with certain rules. Ain't no way I'm going to get very much far into this chapter. Can y'all petition Brother Chris to make Sunday school longer? As human beings, we tend to make our own rules. And because we like ourselves and we believe ourselves, we want other people to do our rules. Now, that's going above and beyond the point at which we need to be. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. Those whosoevers in verse number 9 are the false teachers. They're giving us things that are not in the doctrine of Christ. They're false teachers. They're antichrist. And they seek to destroy God's church and the message that we're supposed to give as God's church. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He's saying, watch out. And the way we can think about it is this right here. They may sit next to you at church. They may be on the stage. They could be anywhere. John's just telling us to watch out. There's people making their own stuff up out there that's not in the doctrine of God, doctrine of Christ. And they do not have God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Okay, just for a minute, I want to read you some verses of how important it is for the child of God to, the child of God to be hospitable to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, please listen to these words, because they're going to have an impact on how we think of 2 John, okay? And I'll tell you where they're found in case you want to write them down. Now, the first one I'll give is from our time in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. That's a condition. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So those two verses establish the standard for us, the responsibility of this Christian to love this Christian over here, and to support and to care for this Christian over here. That sets the standard. That's what we should do. But let me read to you Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them, notice them, what's a good word for that? Note it, look at this. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. If you're an individual who has a big heart and loves people, it's hard to avoid people. It's hard to ignore people, isn't it? It's what he's telling us to do. Hey, you got people that you might be around that are saying things contrary to the word of God. And Paul says, don't go there. They're not worth your time, and they'll do damage to you as a child of God. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. You know how strong a word that is? To be in the Word of God? If somebody's teaching something that is outside of the Word of God, he is to be accursed. As we said before, so now I say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And Paul continues, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So we're to mark them. We're to notice them. Hey, he teaches something that's outside of the Word of God. Goes beyond what the Word of God teaches. He's teaching his opinions. Avoid him. Shun him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves. That ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. He's saying, get away from them. Don't be in their presence. They're doing damage to the cause of Christ. Don't be near them. Withdraw yourself away from them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. This is tough. We don't like to do this. And then he says in the next verse, and this is important. Paul says, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Whew. What? First you tell me to get away from him. Avoid him, shun him, withdraw yourself. But he's not your enemy. But you have a responsibility to admonish him. That tells me we still care for people. We still love people if we're doing what we're supposed to. But we have a responsibility to the false teacher who's causing damage to the teachings of Christ to admonish him. And then later on in the verse, after the admonition is given, he says, well, actually, this is Titus chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. A man that is a heretic, that's somebody who believes falsehoods and teaches the same thing that they believe to other people. A man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject. Whew, man, there's some tough language here. So you got this guy. He's a false teacher. He's spreading untruths about God's word. Not supposed to be around him. But he's not your enemy. You're supposed to admonish him. And then after the first and second admonition, reject him. Wow. These are not my rules. This is what we're finding in here. It's tough language. And he finishes, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. So see, what we're doing is not condemning him. He's already condemned by what he's done. His actions have already done. So we just got a few minutes before we dismiss. I want to go back to the lady, the elect lady, real quick. Go back to 2 John, okay? So that we're talking about people who the Bible has explicitly said, withdraw yourselves from and don't be company with them. Try to help them as much as you can. Admonish them. But if they refuse your admonition and your counsel and your, you know, they refuse your advice coming from the Word of God that you give them, reject them. Verse 11. Well, let's go back to verse 10 for a review. If any man coming to you like that, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed, somebody read the rest of that for me. Anybody, everybody. Oh, my goodness. Is partaker of his evil deeds. Now let's go back to the person who has a natural love for people. And it's so easy for certain people to not, they don't want tension in their life, they don't want to argue, they just want to love everybody. We have another daughter who, when she was growing up, she was that way. She would fess up to things that she didn't do just so that we would have peace in the family. You know, those kind of people, these are hard words because they don't want the tension and they want to love everybody. But Paul says here, these are false teachers in God's church, and that's terrible. Get away from them. Admonish them. If they refuse your admonishments, then reject them. And here he's saying, don't even invite them to your house. He's telling us not to have fellowship with them. Now, we want to we want to tender this with, you know, when we study the Bible, you study the Bible in its context in which it was written. You study the words, the verses before and the verses after. So you got to come back next week to get the rest of this. You'll be lopsided if you don't hear the rest of this, because we got to give you the rest of this. Is that soaking in? We got some wonderful words here, and these are hard words. So 1 John was like the message of love, and then 2 John is like this asterisk. It's like this footnote. It's like this big word, but. Love everybody. Love your brother. But watch out. Aren't you glad God doesn't leave us in the dark? He could have left this out. And then when we love this false teacher who causes strife in the church and in a Christian culture, then we suffer the consequences of our actions. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for these few moments to look into your word, and we just ask that you would open it.